This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Well, make it so, number one.
What?
These aren't the droids we're looking for.
In an insane world, it was the sanest choice.
Silencio, Bruno!
And my axe.
Hey, fellas. Either one of you know where the Smithsonian is? I'm here to pick up a fossil.
I'm sorry, Dave. I'm afraid I can't do that.
Geeks out on Joy 94.9.
You're going to need a bigger boat.
Right now, we're going to be talking about Star Wars The Book of Boba Fett, starring Tamara Morrison and Ming-Na Wen. Apparently, there's some Matt Berry in there as well. Go figure. We've got a quick trailer for you. This is The Book of Boba Fett.
I am not a bounty hunter. I've heard otherwise. I know that you sit on the throne of your former employer.
Jabba ruled with fear. I intend to rule with respect.
You were all once captains under Jabba the Hutt.
I'm here to make a proposal that's mutually beneficial. Why speak of conflict when cooperation can make us all rich?
What prevents us all from killing you and taking what we want?
If you had spoken such insolence to Jabba, he'd have fed you to his menagerie.
Please, speak freely.
Now, for those of you who haven't quite picked it up, if you've been following the Star Wars story, you'd know last we saw Boba Fett in the trilogy. He was fed to the Sarlacc just before the death of Jabba the Hutt. But after escaping the gut of the savage Sarlacc bounty hunter, Boba Fett becomes a Tatooine-based daimyo, inheriting the seat of a criminal empire once filled by Jabba the Hutt. Tamsin, I'm going to start with you on this one.
Oh, okay.
Don't know why. Like, okay. Which of us are Star Wars fans?
That would be me. Look, this is, I feel, one of those ones that will probably take three episodes for people to warm up into it. You know, beautiful, amazing variety of Star Wars characters again. You can't go wrong. You know, we've seen it in The Mandalorian and now we're seeing it in Boba Fett and we'll see it in, oh, I've gone completely blank on what's coming up, but I think, you know, there's lots of fun. And, you know, we know Boba Fett, as you said, he died last diving into the...
Well, we thought he died.
Well, he died. He seems to have a lot. But again, he actually in... you know, his father was Jango Fett in Attack of the Clones.
That's when we were introduced to Tamara Morrison as the clone character.
Exactly.
That's when we got a whole Kiwi army.
Yes.
It was pretty great.
That was very... And, you know, and Boba is the unaltered clone, so he could grow up normally as Jango's child. But in the actual original movies, you only see him for 5 to 6 minutes in total, in all his points. And, of course, in Empire, as he's hired to capture and deliver Solo to Jabba, you know, and then everything else that happens after it. So, you know, it's really awesome to see this come to light and to... The flashbacks and everything was very interesting. And for people who aren't Star Wars fans, it'd be good to hear your views.
Now, Clayton, I don't believe you're, you know, like a diehard Star Wars fan.
No, I'm more could have a nap during the middle Star Wars fan. So that's kind of my thing.
Heresy!
I know.
Heresy!
Oh, anyway, I don't love Star Wars, but I don't hate it either. It is kind of just it's there for me. But I felt this had two very distinct parts to it. There was the part where we saw the past and, well, the past. And there's a part where we saw the present, which I'm putting the little inverted comma things around those words.
Cause, the point in which the story actually begins. There's how he escapes the Sarlacc.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So this, cause of course this is in a galaxy far, far away. Mm. So I found the story of the past very dull and I didn't care at all, which was really surprising because he crawled out of a giant sucky monster thing. But then I found the actual current story I actually really enjoyed, which surprised me because I hate crime lord stories. So, yeah.
I mean, it's a bit more than a crime lord story. Hayley, you know, you've seen, you know, the same sort of influences in this as I have. You know, like, tell us, I'd love your observations.
This is Martin Scorsese by way of Kurosawa. This is a samurai film done by the same people behind Goodfellas kind of thing. This is like, I'm fully expecting Robert De Niro dressed in a kimono to show up with a samurai sword, just like asking for people to pay him what he's due. You know, it's a fantastic film. Not film, it's a show.
Cinematic.
It feels cinematic. I mean, all the Star Wars shows have felt that kind of cinematic there.
John Favreau.
Happy Hogan has been really, really good, you know, at this. And it's been, you know, it's fantastic to watch, how he's taking these films and taking these influences and putting them directly back into Star Wars. Like, the original movie was based off, like, The Hidden Fortress, which is one of Kurosawa's greater, better films.
And it is drawing back to those sorts of influences, you know, where we saw a lot of, you know, the bloody spaghetti westerns and The Mandalorian. This is definitely where we're seeing a samurai drama in Boba Fett, to the point where he's even called a flippin' daimyo, like a warlord, like an ancient Japanese feudal warlord.
Okay, I didn't realize that actually.
Yeah, so, yeah. You know, with the whole, you know, and he's got a little bit of the Godfather in there, you know, like it's about respect, it's about honor. Even if it means, you know, being ruthless to get that.
What's the horses called in Star Wars? The
Tauntauns?
Yeah, so we're going to have a Tauntaun head in someone's bed at some point.
we might do if they go back to Hoth, the ice planet. Sure. But, you know, there's that wonderful samurai feel.
Yeah. It's very similar. I get the same feeling that I had when I watched, like, Seven Samurai or... Seven Samurai is the only one's coming to mind. I know I mentioned another Kurosawa film just before.
Throne of Blood, Yojimbo.
Yojimbo.
Lost Fortress.
Oh, yeah, Lost Fortress. There we go. it's very much sitting there being like, oh, wow, this is very much Kurosawa. This is all out of his playbook. And that's not a bad thing, because like, that's where Star Wars thrives. It's not science fiction. It's science fantasy.
I mean, there were moments when Kurosawa actually watched A New Hope and was like, that's my film scene for scene.
Yeah, exactly.
And he was like, F you, George Lucas. But, you know, and George is like, I promise it was a love letter.
It's basically Quentin Tarantino.
You know,
less
just
feet, though.
on, you know, that note, this first episode was directed by Robert Rodriguez, who is a friend of Tarantino and has worked with Tarantino in the past. If you don't know Robert Rodriguez, he's done From Dusk Till Dawn, Desperado, Machete, Spy Kids, which feels very strange to be putting on that list. You know, I thought this was a lot of fun. I loved especially the town of Mos Espa on Tatooine, which is where the story takes place. It's the city in which Jabba the Hutt took residence. Now Boba Fett's taken his place. It's a city with a strong character, a lot richer than, you know, you might expect from movies alone.
And so many great callbacks. Like, we get to go into Cantina and we just see those musicians sitting there playing Jizz. That's fantastic.
Yes, it's actually called Jizz.
Yeah.
The music is called Jizz. And this is before it had another meaning.
I was not aware of this.
Yes. Yeah. There we go. But this setting, you know, we've got this rich tapestry of characters and factions of yes men and people trying to appeal to Boba Fett and, you know, just who are clearly going to be playing the long game as this series plays out, as well as, you know, some official antagonism as well.
Look, can we talk about the most important thing?
Yes.
The green servant daddy.
I love them.
They were awesome, and I want a couple.
Can we hire them out?
Are there such thing as daddy subs?
Look, I'm pretty sure we can make that work.
100%. They were all up for it.
Yeah, you know, I can see it.
They volunteered.
I was very
Personally, I'd put a bag over their head, but that's just me.
Yeah, it's okay.
They were unreasonably thick. I was just like, that's quite the ass on them.
Yep. That could have been what my appeal was, yes.
I do want to talk about the action in this. Ming-Na Wen as the assassin Fennec brought us the strongest action in this piece. Mm. Boba Fett himself... While, you know, we had some, you know, character moments where Temuera Morrison was very stoic and had that great quality to him, he didn't bring the action as well as Fennec did. He was slow and cumbersome and clumsy.
Which is strange, because Boba in The Mandalorian was very, like, very much that upfront action hero, but here we see a Boba that's kind of really worn down after everything that's kind of happened to him. Mm. And it's very interesting to see, right? Like we open that scene with this entire episode with Boba in a
like a healing tank.
I was thinking of the exact word for it, but essentially he's in a tub of healing gel and he's just kind of breathing it in.
And breathing it out. Works, right? Breathe it in. Breathe it out.
So he's very much like on the, he's like trying to heal himself and bring himself back up to his former glory, but he's still kind of very slow, very cumbersome after getting out of that Sarlacc pit.
Yeah, definitely.
I also want to ask the question of the room. Where did Boba Fett make his debut?
Star Wars Christmas special.
Oh my God, yes. Like, why? How did this character go from the Star Wars Christmas special to be, like, everywhere and such a popular character? That's pretty amazing.
Well, I mean, he's got more appeal than Lumpy, so it's fine.
That is true. Lumpy was the Ewok? No. Wookiee?
Wookiee.
Yeah.
I was going to say, it wasn't Ewok. Well, definitely wasn't Ewok.
I mean, how many Wookiees did we get? That was Chewbacca's family from the Christmas.
It was. Movie,
mm-hmm. From, sorry, the Light Day special. My mistake. It's really hard for us to give a proper review of the Book of Boba Fett because there's only one episode out so far. New episodes are dropping on Disney Plus every Wednesday. If you're keen to check that out, it'll be out then. It's the first of many Star Wars productions that are actually going to be coming out this year. That's the part that I'm going to struggle with because there are so many just universes out there at the moment that are getting all of these productions. Star Trek, Star Wars, at least Doctor Who only has one show at the moment, although that has had its fair share of spin-offs.
It has had spin-offs, Sarah Jane and Torchwood.
Yeah, Class as well.
Oh, Class, yes.
Yeah, you know.
The Big Fish.
And all things DC and Marvel at the moment. Just, oh my gosh, so much everything. We will keep you abreast of those things as they happen. Again, if you want to check out Book of Boba Fett, streaming now on Disney Plus, new episodes dropping each Wednesday. I know, I'm keen to check out a couple more, at the very least.
Thick Green Daddies.
Thick Green Daddies. Well, there's the selling point for Clayton right there.
Oh, Lordy.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.